Blog Talk Radio.
We're going to be looking at those things, and we're going to be starting with the Church of Smyrna on this
morning. We did the Church of Laodicea last night. We found out that he says, if you are lukewarm, you're not going to make it. I already know if you're cold, you're not going to make it. But if you are lukewarm, you're not going to make it. Got to be on fire for him. Got to be hot for him. Because the only way you can be hot for him is to give him your whole heart, serve him with all your might. This is what he requires. This is what he wants. This is what he's going to have. And he's not going to take anything less than. So many people are walking in a lukewarm relationship with the Most High. They didn't believe in him. They say that, you know, they've accepted Messiah as their Savior. They are using his name. Some of them are performing work, wondrous works in his name. Yet and still, they are not obeying the commandments. And the commandments translate into agape love, the love of Elohim. And so he says you have to have this type of love, my type of love, not your natural type of love, but you got to have my type of love and my commandments, my statutes, and my ordinances, my judgments to my heart. They give you my heart. I'm revealing my heart to you, and I'm going to give you my spirit so that you can get my heart. But if you ignore my, if you get my spirit and you ignore the spirit, my spirit, and don't do what I tell you to do, you're not going to make it. Okay? And so this is what we're looking at. Believing that we are saved only to find out that we are not. That is a rough thing. It really is a rough thing because it's contrary to everything that we've been taught. It's contrary to the way most of us believe. But when we see this, if we look at it through the right filter, then we see that Messiah says there are unbelievers and there are believers. And these unbelievers, you don't even have to worry about them. Scriptures never really address them because they are truly lost. They're dead. CERN, they're dead. Okay? They don't really actually exist as a people because they're dead in the next life already. But to the group of believers, then he separates the group of believers into believers that say they believe, they worship him with their mouth, but their heart is far from him. They worship him with their mouth. They use his name. They call on him. They do works in his name. He says, I never knew you. And then there are those believers that overcome. And they do what he says to do. They actually do what he says to do. And they do it with their whole heart. And he says, even unto death. And I be challenged that way. And he says, don't lose your faith. Endure to the end, even unto death. Now, death comes can come naturally. Death can be invoked upon you. If it's invoked upon you for you doing what the Most High said to do, he says, I will give you the crown of life. I'll raise you back up, and I'll give you the crown of life. Just be faithful. Okay, so we're going to look into this because then there's those who won't do that. You know, I can go this far, but, you know, I don't know if I believe enough that I would actually die for this. So we got examples of, you know, all this in the scripture. And we want to look at this because there's nothing hidden to those that he opens their eyes. There's nothing hidden to those that he gives understanding. To those that he don't give understanding, no matter how this is read, no matter how it's taught, they just will not see it. They will not agree with it. It will not set right with them. And Yah is okay with that. That's his will. So we're going to continue in this on this morning. I want to greet everybody in Pal Talk, in Blog Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be. I want to greet you in the Master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, whether you're in North America or South America, whether you're on the African continent or in the Middle East, in the Far East, the European theater, the communist bloc countries, wherever you're at in this world, and you are tuning into this broadcast, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. On this morning, let's go ahead and let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east as we do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20-21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26-29. I can do all things through Mashiach which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah, Father. We just magnify you on this morning, and we lift you up, and we thank you, Father, for all that you have done for us. We thank you for your redemption. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for opening our eyes, Father, and for giving us understanding and allowing us to worship you in spirit and in truth, Father. Only you do this. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to you, O Yah Elohim. Glory to you, Father. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave. And we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. But if we would return from our wicked ways and return from our sins, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears towards your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. So, Father, we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, turn your eyes and your ears back towards your people Israel and deliver us in these last times, Father. Place us under your protection. Place us into your head. Let it you be the strong tower that we run into. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that is asleep, that you might give us a meek and a humble, give them a meek and a humble spirit. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call him aside, that they would hear your voice, and that they would come and that they would obey. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom on this morning, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. Founding of the shofar. If you love me, keep my commandments.
broken.
Cleanse me from my sin.
All the way down.
Purge me
completely.
Wash me from within.
Come on, my Lord.
Me.
I seek your grace. Oh.
Acknowledge my transgression.
Purge me.
I accept your punishment. Your justice
is right for me.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you're worthy, mighty. Accept your will. Do what you want to do with me. I accept your will. So
in the flesh, an example of love, it is a story. Your words jump at me like a picture. The perfect you are in the scriptures. Your words, they don't change and they don't go void. You are the truth you deliver. Most high, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that.
Beside you, and they know that you are the
Let's say it together.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Say, there is power in the name of Jesus.
Come on.
To break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain,
yeah.
To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Let's say it together, there is power.
There is power. There is power in the name of Jesus, yeah. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Declare and say,
to break every chain, break every chain, break every.
Now somebody lift your hands in the air right here.
There's an arm.
We won't keep silent, say,
there's an army. There's an army. There's an army rising up.
Now shut it up, say, to break every chain.
To break every chain.
Hey.
Break every chain. Break every chain.
Amen, 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 amen. Let's go to the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation. Start in verse 8. The book of Revelation starting in verse 8. Chapter 2, I'm sorry. Book of Revelation chapter 2, starting in verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Now, the Jews that say they are Jews and are not are really those that say that they belong to the Most High, but they don't obey him. And they are of many different races, okay? So we try to make this only those Ashkenazi Jews, okay? But a true Jew obeys the Most High. It's a way of life, and you obey him. You don't obey him just with your, you know, you don't worship him just with your mouth. But you obey his commandments. You obey him with your heart. And you do what he says to do. So this is what he's talking about here. And are of the synagogue of Satan. Okay? Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Don't fear those things. You're going to go through some things. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death. Those that are of the church at Smyrna that are worshiping the Most High and that are overcomers, he's telling them, the ones that overcome are those that are faithful unto death. So if the Most High requires your death, then you're supposed to be willing to go there, to die for him. And I will give you a crown of life. So the message here is be faithful unto the Most High, even unto death. And I will give you the crown of life. Let's go to Revelation. Let's verify this. Go to Revelation chapter 21. The book of Revelation chapter 21. And we're going to get verse 7. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7. And the word of the Most High reads, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his Elohim, and he shall be my son. So if you overcome, you're going to inherit all things. No matter what church you are in, what church age you are in, you have to overcome to be an inheritor. To the church in Laodicea, he told them, those that were hot, if you were lukewarm, you weren't going to overcome. If you were cold, you're just a non-believer. So I wish that you were cold or hot. I wish that you were all for me or that you were not for me. But I don't want you in the middle. Now he's telling the church of Smyrna, I know your work and that you are rich. To the church in Laodicea, they were counting on their money. He said, you're poor. So the church of Smyrna are those that are believers and they're doing what the Most High said. They still had to be believers and they had to believe even unto death. So we have to know that if we are overcomers, then we are willing to lose this life, sacrifice this life for the Most High. We're willing to stay faithful even unto death. Okay? Let's continue. overcomer escapes the second death. Okay? The second death, which is the lake of fire. If you die for Messiah, literally, die for him, then he's going to allow, that qualifies you to rule in his throne with him. To rule in that authority. I mean, you got to rule like him. And the second death will have no power. You won't be subject to the second death. You won't be subject to the lake of fire. And this is what, I want to explain something here. I think I'll use this while we're there to go into this and then come back into this lesson. Those that overcome and those that literally die for Messiah, they get to rule with him. Okay? And then there's a group that they are overcomers, but they didn't die for him. So let me restate what I just said. If you're an overcomer and you also die for him, he says you got to suffer for him to rule in his throne with him, then you're going to rule in his throne with him. But if you overcome, he's going to give you the crown of life. He's going to give you eternal life, and he's going to give you a hundredfold of whatever you gave up. Okay, a hundredfold. So let us go to Revelation chapter 20. The book of Revelation chapter 20, and then we'll come back into this. The book of Revelation, chapter 20, we're going to start in verse 1. Revelation, chapter 20, starting in verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon and the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So the devil, Satan, is bound. He won't be in Messiah's millennial kingdom. He'll be bound 1,000 years. People won't be able to say, the devil made me do it. They won't be able to say that the devil tempted me. That's going to be gone. Okay? For 1,000 years or one day. One spiritual or biblical day. 1,000 years, okay? And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him. He won't be able to get out during this time, okay? That he should deceive the nations no more. Till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little seed. So the devil, Satan, the deceiver, that's his job. Let me show what's in you, even if I got to deceive you to do it. Because if you are in truth and you know what the truth is, you can't be deceived. I know what the truth is. I'm standing on it. And, you know, what you're saying, that's a lie. This part of it is a lie. This part is true. This part is a lie. And you're trying to deceive me. He won't be around to do that. He won't be around to tempt you. Okay? 1,000 years. Not going to be in the world. Going to be filled up. Verse 4. Now, we're going to change to the thrones. And we need to pay attention here. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. Who is the they? And judgment was given unto them. Not him, to them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. This is the them. The souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yeshua and for the word of Elohim, those that were killed for him. They suffered with him. He was killed for us. You want to rule with him? You got to be killed for him and for the word and for the word of Elohim. Be killed for the word of Elohim, the witness of Messiah and for the word of Elohim, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark on their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Mashiach 1,000 years. So, not because you're a Hebrew, not because you are a believer, but you literally had to believe in Messiah and literally had been killed for Messiah, beheaded for him, shot for him, killed for him, even unto death, as we told the church at Smyrna. But that the messages that we're that you pull out for each church, you got to combine them, okay, and make sure that you are in the group of the overcomers, to overcome, and you will get to reign with him 1,000 years. Go to verse 5. And now let's look at everybody else. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So Messiah comes back. All those who have died for a witness to be a witness to him, they were obeying him. They worshiped. They lived unto death. They gave their life for the witness of Messiah or for the word of God, and or. Okay. They're resurrected when he comes back. Everybody's not resurrected. Verse 5, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. Why? On such the second death has no power. The second death has no authority. Not subject to the lake of fire. The second death is the lake of fire, and you're not subject to that. You're not going to go into that judgment, okay? But they shall be priests of Elohim and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. They get to reign with him 1,000 years. In Revelation chapter 2, he told you those that overcome, that they had to reign with him the same way he reigned, as with a rod of iron. Okay, they have to help eliminate ungodliness from the earth. The way the Most High eliminates ungodliness is he eliminates sinners. The law, you die, so that you shall put away sin from among you. And when people see that, when people start seeing that the Most High is serious about this in the millennial kingdom, they'll start changing. Well, they will look like they start to change, okay? But the scriptures tell us that even in the millennial kingdom, there are going to be people who say they believe, but they really don't. They don't want to live up under the authority of the Most High. Okay, let's read this. And when the 1,000 years, verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, when it's finished, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them to the battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. So they've been under Messiah's rule. I want you to understand this. They've been up under Messiah's rule, and you've been ruling with him if you were an overcomer. And it is strict. And Satan is released. Now, and he goes out to deceive the nations. You know, you don't have to put up with this. We can overthrow Messiah. We can overthrow the saints. You have power just like they got. They are only men. He's going to deceive them. And they come up against Messiah. They come up against the saints, the overcomers. And they are as the sands of the sea. Count. As the sands of the sea. Verse 9. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, all around the earth, and surrounded the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, Jerusalem, and came down from Elohim, that came down, and fire came down from Elohim out of heaven and devoured them. So this time the Most High says, you know, I'm not playing around. I gave you one day to get straight. I gave you one day to live in a kingdom of righteousness. I gave you one day to learn my statutes, my laws, my commandments, my ordinances, my judgments. I enforced it. And now let me let out Satan to show what's really in your heart. Are you obeying me? You want to. Or are you obeying me because you fear? And not with fear of respect. You just fear dying. And is it in your heart to rebel? To be disobedient? Satan comes out. How many did he say the number was? A number as of the sands of the sea. And this time the Most High says, okay, now I'm just going to burn them up. I'm going to kill them. Okay, and now we're going to have judgment day. Because now all of these who have been in Messiah's kingdom, they are without excuse. They are without excuse. So now let me resurrect everybody that is dead. Okay, so let's read this. Verse 9 again. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed or surrounded the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from Elohim out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Who else is in here? If the beast and the false prophet are in the lake, we are told that everybody that accepts the mark of the beast, they are going to go into the lake of fire. They're also in there already. Okay? And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. If you go to Revelation, he will tell you that everybody that takes the mark of the beast, that is not willing to die and get their gain their life, they take the mark to survive, they end up going into the winepress of the wrath of Elohim. They are killed and they are thrown in the lake where the beast and the false prophet are already. These are the people that the... Let me lay this out. When Messiah comes back, everybody that takes the mark of the beast, the false prophet, the beast himself, they are cast into the lake. Now, these are men. The false prophet is a man. The beast is the one who had the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of Satan, and is powered by the spirit of Satan. He is cast into the lake of fire. All of the people on the earth that took the mark of the beast to the lake of fire as well. So now what you have on the earth are those that are believers and they are from other, they're believers, and then they are people who are from other nations who they survived the tribulation. And they're going to live up under Messiah's rule for 1,000 years. The only ones who are resurrected from the dead are those that had overcome already. They are resurrected, and they get to reign with him 1,000 years. 1,000 years is over. Antichrist is let out. Not Antichrist. Satan is let out again. He does what he does. The whole 1,000 years, the earth is being repopulated. It's being repopulated. And the number of the people is as the sand of the sea. And they are up under Messiah's rulership. And according to the scriptures, Satan comes out and he's able to deceive them and they rebel. They come up against the Most High. They come up against Messiah and the New Jerusalem. The Most High sends down fire and burns them up. Okay? Now, when the Most High burns them up, then he says, now the devil, Satan, go get in the lake. Satan had been he was bound in a tomb or a let's go back up here, hold on a second. He was bound in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. He wasn't in the lake of fire. He was in the bottomless pit. Sealed there for 1,000 years, then he's let out. And he deceives the nations. Now he's deceived the nations. People have shown their true colors. Satan is doing what Satan was designed to do. They have shown their true colors. And the Most High sends down fire on them and burns them up. Everybody that comes against them, he just burns them up. They die. He's going to resurrect them. He's going to resurrect everybody that ever lived at this point. Okay? And because he's resurrecting everybody that lived, this continues. 9. Verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. And there was found no place for them, who, the rest of the dead. Everybody that lived and died from the time of Adam all the way up to this time that didn't make the first resurrection, they get up. They get up. Okay. Now, I can say, I can correct something here, or I can say there's one or two scenarios. Even the people who took the mark, no, that's not a correction. It is actually that way, because I know that in Isaiah, we're told that everybody that's in Messiah's kingdom is required to go look on all those souls that are in the lake. Okay? So, that's supposed to be a deterrent. And even in the kingdom, people are still required to go look on those people. Because it's going to be a new system instituted. A new system instituted. So let's look at 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. And there was found no place for them. But all the dead are uncovered. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Elohim. Those that were powerful and those that were weak, those that had been in authority and those that had been poor, stand before Elohim, and the books were opened. The book of your works, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, the first set of books of your work. Call up Brother Miles. Open up the book. What are his works? Is his name in the Lamb's Book of Life? It's going to happen. So if I don't make the first resurrection, because those who make the first resurrection aren't subject to this, never have to worry about going into the lake of fire. They are proven. They overcame. But the rest of the dead go through this. Those that lived during the millennial reign of Messiah go through this. They are resurrected. He just burned them up. All right, now let me resurrect them. And then the books are open. And every person comes before the throne. Every person that's subject to this comes before the throne, the white throne. And they are judged out of the things which were written in the book, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. No more death, there's no more nobody in death. Death delivered up the dead that were in it. It says in hell, it's letting you know there's nobody dead. Everybody, let's watch this. And they would judge every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. No more death. Can't die. Everybody is eternal. Now, you're eternal. And death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. I'm instituting a new death now. You can't die. You're eternal. You can't die. And even death and hell are done away with. No more death. No more grave. Nothing can die. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, fire, that is designed to torment spiritual beings. So when the Most High made everything eternal, there's no more death. That means everything is eternal. Nothing can die. The second death is torment in the lake of fire. A fire that was designed for spiritual beings. Can't die, but you can feel this fire. Okay, so we got to understand that if you are an overcomer, you're not subject to this for the witness of Messiah. If you die because you're keeping the word of Elohim, you're actually keeping it. You're doing it. You're not just talking it with your lips. You're actually doing what he said to do. You won't be subject to the second death if you died for him. Now, if you didn't die for him and you still served him, but it didn't cost you your life, you're part of the second resurrection and you're still part and you're still subject to the lake of fire. Still subject to it. So in the new system, if you disobey the Most High, if you disobey, then you throw straight in the lake. There is no repentance. sorry. There is no I made a mistake because you know. Nothing is hidden. And so for you to sin at that point, you have to truly choose to sin. Now, the key to this is in verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You didn't make the first resurrection, but you made the second one. Now, the second death in the new kingdom is if you sin, you go straight to the lake. All those that made the first resurrection, they're still going to be in power with Messiah. They're still going to be law enforcers. They get to reign in his authority for one day. But in the new kingdom, they will still be enforcers. If you sin, trust me, and they see it, they're either going to tell it or the Most High will know it, either way. But if you get caught, you get thrown into the lake. Forever. Forever. The sin won't be tolerated at all. So understand it. Get thrown in the lake forever. That's why he says those that are in the first resurrection aren't subject to this. They're not going to sin. They overcame. They had the fortitude to serve the Most High the way he wanted to be served. They did not doubt, even unto death. But the second group, they believed. And some of those believers are in the book of life. Some of those believers' names are not in the book of life. They believed on Messiah, but their name ain't in the book of life. But everybody in the kingdom is subject to this. Is that the lake is there. And the second death is, all right, there's no more physical death as you knew it because everybody is eternal. Do anything now, your punishment is the lake forever. So you want to be an overcomer. You want to do what he said to do. So he says, if you're an overcomer, you're not going to be subject to the second death. Go to, back to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And we're going to get verse 17. Actually, go back to verse 15 and finish up with the church at Smyrna. Okay? So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, thing I hate. Now, hold on a minute. I did have this. If I can find this. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Okay? Hold on a second. The Nicolaitans, or Nicolaitans, this is their doctrine, okay? Let this come up. I'm being real slow. Give me a hot second here, because I want you to understand you don't want to be this way. Now, this doctrine of the Nicolaitans, okay, this was from one of the Gentiles, Nicholas, a native of Antioch, one of the first seven deacons mentioned in Acts chapter 6, verse 5. The nature of the link between the Nicolaitans was questionable. Some scholars believe that it was another Nicholas, rather than Nicholas of the deacons himself becoming an apostate. Irenaeus was the opinion that Nicholas was their founder. The Nicolaitans are the followers of Nicholas, who was one of the seven first ordained to be a deacon by the apostles. They lead a life of unrestrained indulgence. The character of these men is very plainly pointed out in the Apocalypse of John, when they are represented as teaching that is a matter of indifference to practice adultery and to eat things sacrificed to idols. That's what their doctrine, okay? Practice adultery, just like, who was it? Jezebel was teaching that it was okay, you know, to fornicate. He taught, that's why Messiah said, you suffer the witch Jezebel to teach that it's okay to fornicate. That was part of Baal worship. The Nicolaitans, they indulged in adultery, and they indulged in, you know, it's okay to sleep with anybody, whether you're married or not. And to eat things sacrificed to idols. Let's see what else they say about it. Telling you that it's okay to fornicate. Anybody saying it's okay to commit adultery. Anybody saying it's okay to eat things sacrificed to idols. It would be considered a Nicolaitan. And Messiah said that the church at Smyrna, this is at Pergamos. That they have this doctrine, okay? So let's go back to verse 13. Well, actually, let's go back to verse 12. And let's start over again, and we'll read down through 17. And to the angel of the church at Pergamos write, these things saith he which has the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name. You holding fast unto my name, and hast not denied my faith. Even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelt. But I have a few things against you, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. What was that stumbling block? To marry these women and to say it's okay to have sex as part of worship, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. It's okay to commit adultery. It's okay to sacrifice things, to eat things sacrificed to idols, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them that with the sword of my mouth. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So, Pergamos, they were practicing worship of Baal, along with the worship of the Most High. And they were saying that it was okay to commit adultery, it was okay to fornicate, you know, just go ahead and commit sin The Most High says, don't eat anything sacrificed to an idol. Even though you yourself should know that an idol is a god and it has no power. The problem is that those people who believe in those idols believe they do have power. So if you eat anything sacrificed to an idol in front of them, then you have more or less reinforced their belief. Even though you yourself know, you know what? You sacrifice that to nothing with no power. And the Most High says, if you know that and you are around people that understand it, you can eat it. Because you know what the idol is. But when there are people around who believe in that idol, so you go to somebody's house, they cook a meal for you, and then they bless it to something else, and they believe in this thing, you don't eat it for their sake. So that they know that what they are sacrificing to is not real, because they believe it's real. They're praying to it. They are giving credit to this idol for this meal. I think one day I'll need to go teach that lesson so we can see the difference. If it's something clean, a food that is approved by the Most High that we can eat, then he tells you, if there ain't nobody around that believes that this idol is real. So let's do the scenario. You go someplace and this thing might have been sacrificed to an idol, but you don't know. But it's something clean to eat. Nobody's around and they're not saying this thing was sacrificed to an idol. You bless it and eat it. Most times they feel sanctified. Because you yourself know that an idol is nothing. You don't even believe in them. But if there's somebody around that believes that that idol is real and they know that it was sacrificed to it, then you can't eat it. Because then you're validating their faith. So he says, don't eat it for their sake. So that they don't continue to believe in the idol. And that it's okay. You don't justify what they have done. You gotta find someplace else to eat. Okay, so we'll get that one day so we can understand what the law is concerning that. People believe that they can eat things, sacrifice to idols, in the way that the Most High says not to do it. Maybe I should get that now. Hold on a minute. I think I will. I'll get that now so that we can understand what he says concerning this. Right and wrong ways to do things. Just a second. Give me a hot second. It's important that I cover this as brought up, and I brought it up as well in this lesson. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Corinthians chapter 8, let's walk through this thing, offered unto idols. We know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifies. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knows nothing, yet as he ought to know, as he ought to know it. But if any man love Elohim, the same is known of him. Because Elohim says, if you love me, keep my commandments. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other Elohim but one. So if you know this and you love Elohim, you know that an idol is something that some man made up. But they believe it, okay? For though there be that are called Elohim, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be Elohim's many and masters many, but to us there is but one Elohim, the Father. If you understand, if you know, there's only one Elohim, and who is that? The Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord or one Master, Yeshua HaMashiach, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge. For some which conscious of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol. They're eating it because they believe this idol is real. And their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to Elohim. For neither if we eat are we better, neither if we eat not are we worse. But take heed, lest any man by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. So you know that this meat offered to this idol, that the idol is nothing. You say, you're going to go ahead and eat. You bless it. God will sanctify it. Elohim will sanctify it. But if you, he's saying, if any man take heed, lest at any means the liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Those that are weak are those who believe that this idol is real. Okay? For if any man see thee which has knowledge, sit at meat, sit to eat in an idol's temple, and shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened. Wait a minute. I saw you eating at the temple of Baal, and the Baal worshiper sees you eating there, and he says, see, they believe also. They ate something that was sacrificed to Baal, even though, you know, Baal doesn't actually exist. He's some made up in somebody's mind. Okay? So it's weak and emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols. And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Elohim or Christ died. But when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. So the weak one is the one that's eating this thing offered to an idol, because he believes that the idol is real, and that the sacrifice has validity unto this idol. You know that there is no such thing as an idol. That idol is not real. And it's only Elohim. So, to be saved, just don't eat it. But it's not that you don't have, that you can't eat it. As long as there's nobody around that's going to be thinking that, you know, this was sacrificed to Baal or whoever, and it's okay, and you just validated it. And I know Baal is okay. I know Baal exists. And so you just validated me. So that brother's weak because he believes that Baal is real. He believes that the idol actually exists. And that he's worshiping in his mind another god. So the Nicolaitans said, hey, didn't matter. You can eat it no matter what. No, you got to know when you can and when you can't. Safer just not to eat it. But don't mean you can't eat it if you have understanding. You have the knowledge. And you're not, there's nobody around that you're validating. I pray we can get go back to Revelation. Chapter 2. And we were in verse, go to verse 14. But I have a few things against thee, because they're them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. Balaam told the children of Israel that they could have sex during their worship, that they were to marry these Moabite women who were worshiping Baal. Matter of fact, when we look at that story, when the Israelite brothers comes among Moses, in front of Moses, with this Moabite woman, who is a priestess of Baal, and he's taking her in the tent, and he's about to get busy. And this Hebrew man runs up into the tent and puts a spear through the man and the woman. Okay, this is what he's talking about here. To eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. It's okay to commit adultery. It ain't no limit on none of this stuff. And you can do, you know, worship idols, eat things offered to idols. People who believe that they are idols. In other words, I know I have the authority. I can do this. No matter what you believe. I'm going to go ahead and do this because it makes a difference in what you know. The person who's worshiping idols, they believe that idol is God, is a God. It's their God. And then you validate them. Okay, that's what he's saying. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church, to him that overcometh. So if you got caught up in this stuff, you heard the truth, you repented, you turned away from it, to him that overcome will I give to eat of the hidden manna. And will give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receives. So I'm going to give you a name that only you know. If you overcome. But if you don't overcome, because I'm going to attack you with the sword of my mouth. Get in the lake. Okay? Get in the lake. And unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of Elohim, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know thy works and charity. We know charity in the scripture is we equate it to love, but this is the love of Elohim, agape love, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy work, the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against you, because you suffer that woman, Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach as Messiah. Let your women keep silent in the church. Suffer this woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. These are separate things. You suffer that prophetess, Jezebel, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit adultery and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. You ain't up under the dietary laws. You can eat, you as long as you bless it, you can eat it. Don't matter whether the people think that it was sacrificed to an idol or not. Don't matter if they're around. You go to their house. It's Christmas. They're blessing stuff. You don't know to what. Because you know that they ain't blessing it really to Messiah if they're not really following him. Something made up in their mind. Thanksgiving. You see, all of these other pagan holidays are dedicated to pagan deities, even if you don't know it. That's why they call it a holy day. Anything they call a holy day, trust me, they got a deity behind it, even if it's worshiping a man. Most I don't share his worship with nobody, not even a man. Okay, so when we look at the pagan holiday, we know that there's a deity, an idol behind it, and people celebrate it, and they cook to it, and then they bless the meal. Then they use the Most High's name or Messiah's name to bless the meal, thinking that it's okay. It's not okay. You can't mix them with anything. Can't mix them with anything. And because we don't want to give up tradition, and because we don't want to give up, you know, how we grew up, these things seem right to us, and we want to stay in it. But the Most High says no. The Messiah is saying no. So suffer not the woman Jezebel to teach. Don't let her teach. So teaching my children to, it's okay to fornicate. You can have sex outside of marriage. It's all right. You got to find your true love. You got to find your mate. And if you sleep with them, you're not really married to them. Not until you make a commitment that you're married to them. Stuff he's teaching. And to eat things offered to idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication. And she repented not. So if you overcome, then you're going to understand that in the pulpit, to teach the nation, to teach the people, to teach them scripture, a woman's not supposed to do that. It's not given to her to do that. She's commanded to be in silence in the churches. Verse 22, behold, I will cast her into a bed. And them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. So when you find yourself in an assembly that's being led by a woman, you have to know that you are in violation of Messiah's scripture, his requirements. And there are going to be churches that do that. Through women's feminism, through the church being weak, saying, you know, it's okay for a woman to teach. All same churches will say, oh, it's okay to be gay and be in the ministry. It's okay to be gay and be in the church. Non-condemning. It's okay. Contrary to what the word of the Most High says, they're doing what they want to do. They can read these same scriptures and they still do what they want to do. Because that's what they feel. That's what they think. Do with her children. Now, this is not literally the children that came out of her womb. These are everybody that believes the doctrine that she's teaching. They are her children. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and the heart. Is it in your heart to do this thing? Is it in your heart to fornicate and have sex and to commit adultery and to eat things offered to idols and to say, you know, I can actually eat anything unclean? God said it was okay. That you. He's taken authority over men, teaching the women it's okay to have sex. You ain't married to that man if you do. Find your right sexual partner. That's important. Because I will kill her children with death. All those that believe that, I'm going to kill them with death. The second death, the lake of fire. And they be doing that stuff and thinking they can hide it. The Most High says, I'm going to kill, and all the churches shall know that I am the one which searches the reins and the heart. I will give unto every one of you according to your work. I will do that. But unto you, the overcomers, I say, and unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you no other burden, but that which you have already hold fast till I come. Hold fast, even unto death, till I come. And he that overcometh and keeps my work unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Again, he's saying the same thing again. You're going to rule with me in my kingdom if you overcome. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. A rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. You're going to have to rule exactly the same way that Messiah ruled. Exactly how he rules, you have to rule. If you're an overcomer. And I will give him the morning star. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. So if we can hear that, and understand that and believe that, then we know that there's some false doctrines even in this country. You got women pastors pastoring churches. Wait a minute. How are you going to pastor? You're not even supposed to be teaching in the pulpit. Not even supposed to be teaching. But I don't know how people justify themselves, how they justify doing what they want to do. Okay. Go to the church at Sardis. Revelation chapter church at Sardis. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, unto the messenger, that's the angel, the messenger, the pastor of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that has the seven spirits of Elohim and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and are dead. You have a name that you live and are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. You have some things that are alive, but the church is dying. For I have not found thy work perfect before Elohim. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. So they received the truth, they had understanding, then they started listening to other things. They became weak, and things in the church and the people in the church and the body started to die. They started to commit sin. They started to keep the doctrines of men. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If, therefore, thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, have not defiled their garments. You have a few people in Sardis that have not defiled themselves. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, those souls that walk in white, they're going to walk with him because they're worthy. And if you repent and do like them, you'll be in that group that overcomes, clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So you got a church. They received the truth. They were doing the truth. They were worshiping the Most High the way he wanted to be worshiped. They were not, then all of a sudden something changed. Something changed, and they started believing the traditions of men. They let somebody in, and they started saying, oh, you don't have to do this. Oh, you know, maybe we were wrong about that. Maybe the Most High is not that strict. Maybe he's not requiring us to do all this. But a few of them held on to it. A few held on and said, we can't do that. We got to keep his statutes and commandments. We got to obey his voice. Because they will walk with me because they're worthy. But the rest of y'all, if you don't repent, you're not going to overcome. I'm not going to confess your name. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So each one of these churches that we looked at, they got a different issue. Got some churches, they got women preaching and teaching. You got some churches where the people are lukewarm. You got some churches where they believe in their wealth. You got some churches that have the truth, but now they are not upholding it. And they're allowing people to do what they want to do, and it's dying out because they don't want to maintain until the end. That's really what's going on here. They don't want to maintain until the end. That's the problem. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, right. These things saith he that is holy, that is true, he that has the key of David, He that opens, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man opens. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before you an open door. No man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say that they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I love thee, because thou hast kept my word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, because you kept my word, because you're doing it. I'm going to keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world. This is coming. To try them that dwell upon the earth. Will they obey my voice, or will they do whatever the hell is in their own mind? This is what this trial is about. Will they keep my commandments, or will they do what they want to do? Will they submit themselves to me, or will they do what they want to do? I'm going to try them. They're going to be tempted. What's in their heart is going to show up. What's really in their heart is going to show up. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh. When this trial comes, now he says, if you are of this mindset, you are keeping doing them, okay? If you've got a little strength, you ain't all that in a bag of chips, but I will keep you because you are doing it, and because you are faithful, I will keep you from the hour of temptation. I won't let it come on you. Because this temptation that I'm going to send is to prove what is really in people's hearts. What's really in their heart. Are they going to obey me, or are they going to do what they want to do? Him that overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my Elohim, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my Elohim and the name of the city of my Elohim, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my Elohim. And I will write upon him my new name. So what is he going to give you if you overcome? He's going to write the name of Elohim on you. He's going to write the name of the city of the Elohim. This is citizen. This is the kingdom of Elohim, the kingdom of Yah. This is a citizen kingdom of Yah. And they belong to the New Jerusalem. And I will write upon him my new name. King of peace, King of righteousness. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Okay. These people in the Church of Philadelphia, they found agape love. They found the love of Elohim. They understand and have his mind. They understand that they have to walk in his law, in his commandments, in his judgment. Just hold on to that. Hold on to that. You have a little strength. Hold on to that. And I won't let the hour of temptation come upon you. But if you don't hold on to that, the hour of temptation is going to come upon you, and you're going to fail. And why are you going to fail? Because you're serving the Most High from your own mind. You don't have his mind. You have your mind. And in your mind, this seems right. And you're going to do what you want to do, even having the word of the Most High. You're going to do what you want to do. And you will fail the hour of temptation. Okay? That agape love, understanding and keeping his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his ordinance, his judgment, will allow you to walk in the straight and narrow gate. Hold on to that. Don't let it go. You've got a little strength. Hold on to it. Don't let that go. He won't blot your name out from his book. You see, people, your name can be in the book, and then if you don't do what you're supposed to do, I'll blot it out. Brother Miles, you know what? You were weak. You were told you didn't do it. You had eternal life, but you became weak. You didn't hold on to that strength to obey the law, to keep it and to do it, to walk in it, to judge things as Elohim judges things, to have his mind. Somebody give me that blotter over there and let me blot out his name. No longer in the Lamb's Book of Life. Unto the angel of the Laodiceans. Right. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. These things saith the Amen, and the faithful, and the true witness, and the beginning of the creation of Elohim. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. We read this already. So I skip down into this. Let's keep going. Or I want you to be an overcomer. I want you to learn of me. I want you to learn my commandments, learn my laws, learn my judgment, learn my ordinances, and do them. Walk in them. Don't say you know me and then don't obey me. First John chapter 3. And probably don't want to start at verse 18. Not what I want. John chapter 14, start in verse 15, John chapter 14, starting in verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. This is Messiah talking. And I will pray to Father, and he shall send you another comfort, that he may abide with you forever, the Holy Spirit, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Okay, now, if you know that John said from the very beginning that the one that baptizes us with the Holy Spirit is Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. Messiah is saying here, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray to Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now, you got to know that who he's talking about is himself. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him. How do they know him? For he dwells with you. Who was dwelling with them then? He himself, Messiah, and shall be in you. So they, you know, this is kind of talking parabolically. They should be asking, how are you going to get in us? Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more. But you see me. Because I live, you shall live also. At the day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loveth me. Let me read that again. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Now, either we are in violation of this by not keeping his commandments, or it's not him talking to us. Commandments. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loveth me. If you have his commandments, you don't keep them, so you don't love me. You say you love me, but you don't love me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and we will manifest myself to him. Let's continue. And Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, but another Judas, Master, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? How are you going to show yourself unto us and not unto the world? And Yeshua answered and said unto him, if any man love me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him and will come unto him and make our abode with him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. So I've told you these while I'm here with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. I gave you the statutes, the laws, and the commandments. I explained them to you while I was here. I told you the intent of the law. I told you what my feelings, what my intent was concerning marriage. I told you how I qualify adultery. I have revealed the Father unto you. If you keep my word and you do them, I will be with you. I'm going to send the Comforter to you, and he's going to bring all these things into your remembrance. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Obey. If you obey my commandments, you'll be at peace with me. You'll be at peace with me. You'll be at peace with the Father. Because you will be back in obedience. You'll be back living the way that he intended for you to live, obeying his voice, commandments. You won't be condemned. So when we read this, it becomes very evident that within the body of Yahuwah, within the body of Yeshua, there are many and there are few. Two different groups. One group has many people in it, and one group has a few in it. The group that has the many people in it are those that profess that they belong to him. The one that has the few are those that actually have the new life in him. They alone are the overcomers. They have come into right relationship with him, and they are the overcomers. You got those trying to overcome. You got those trying to do right, but they haven't overcome yet. So by the scriptures themselves telling us that most people who say that they know Messiah, most people who say that they worship him, that he talks to them, they're not overcomers. Many are called. Few are chosen. Many are called. You are chosen. The many who are called, they come into the body. I know Jesus. I know Yeshua. He talks to me. He tells me what I need to do. But they're not doing what he said to do. They're not keeping his commandments. They worship him in name only. But to actually do what he said to do, keep the laws of the Most High, keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, keep his ordinances and his judgments, humble yourself that I might fill you with my spirit. Name, get jumped into the kingdom. Have your sins washed away. Go and sin no more. Okay, so in the regeneration, when he calls everybody back and regenerates this body, then only the overcomers are going to have eternal life and at peace with him. Only the overcomers. The rest of everybody who don't overcome, they got eternal life in the lake. Go to 1 John chapter 5. Oh, we're at 10 o'clock. Okay, my bad. I'm caught up. We will stop here. We'll pick this up next Sabbath, next Shabbat. Okay? And we'll start in 1 John 5 and 4. This true birth is, unless a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, if he cannot be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of Elohim. But she's looking for the true birth. You're looking to be obedient. You're looking to get the mind of the Most High. Not be jumped in because somebody told you that you need to have your sins forgiven, but they never told you that you had to obey the Most High. They never told you that you had to keep His commandments. They never even really explained sin to you. So they started defining what sin is for themselves. So we'll pick this up on next week. On this evening, I will see what the Most High says to do. So I'm going to step back from this one until next Saturday. So we will have spiritual warfare on this evening. And I don't know what the subject will be yet. But we will do spiritual warfare, and we will go into whatever the Most High says to go into. I'll see what He says. We're going to step away from this one. We will pick it up in with part 15 next Saturday, and we'll start looking at truly being born again, and understanding that a lot of these believers, the many, a lot of them are born again. Only one problem, they don't truly overcome. They have a false salvation. Let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we come before You even right now, Father. Father, You have shown us in Your church what was wrong with each church and who the overcomers were in those churches. Those that were on fire for You, those that obeyed Your voice and kept Your commandments, so that when they were in error or when they were in false doctrine, that they had to come out of false doctrine. Those that were suffering women to teach outside of their authority, those that are teaching that it's okay. If you slip and fall and you fornicate or you commit adultery, it's okay. Elohim will forgive you. He is merciful. He is all forgiving. It is within His grace. Those who are establishing false doctrines and walking in them, He said all these things would be in the latter days churches, and the churches will be in these situations. He says, but if you know the truth, Father, all that You have given the truth, to obey Your commandments, to obey Your laws, to obey Your statutes, to believe in Messiah, to be born of Your Spirit, to receive agape love, Father, strengthen them even more. That they would hold on to Your statutes, Your laws, and Your commandments, Your judgments, and that they would do them. That they would have the strength to do them and not buckle into the world. Open blind eyes, Father, that they would see. Unclog deaf ears so that they may hear and understand and do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right, so we will come together on this evening for spiritual warfare. I will see and go before the Most High on what He would have me to teach concerning this from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep His commandments, saints, for this is the whole duty of man. Enjoy the rest of your day. Shalom.
Shalom, Brother Miles. Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath. Peace and blessings. See you guys. Sister shalom. See you guys on this evening.
Okay. Shalom.
Shalom.
Good day, Brother Miles.
Good day, Sister Hazel. Shalom. Peace and blessings.